The government trucks rumble into the sleepy town of Toyoak, Colorado. The dust they drive up with their tires makes onlookers cough. Parents with their children stand outside their homes as the trucks park and officials exit the vehicles. Children begin to wail and cry as officials extract them from their parents. Fred Begay is one of these children who is taken. An official grabs his hand and leads him away from his parents. He knows that this is for his benefit. He will be going to school and getting an education, but he must leave his home to do so. His mother begins to cry as he looks over his shoulder, stumbling while walking. He doesn't realize that he will change everything for his family and for science as a whole in the years to come.
Brains of people are more interesting than the looks, I think.
Electric power is everywhere present in unlimited quantity.
Jane, if you really want something and you work hard and you take advantage of opportunity and you never give up.
This is Human Angle, a podcast that focuses on the hidden lives of scientists, asking what makes them human. I'm your co-host, Kim Castleberry, here in the studio with my other co-host, Kenna Castleberry.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you to all of our listeners out there. Our podcast continues to grow in listening numbers as we've had over 1,500 plays on this podcast so far, all thanks to listeners like you. If you liked today's episode, share it with your friends or on your socials like The Gram, as Bill Nye calls Instagram. If you're a new listener, you can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Today's episode is about Fred Begay, also known as Fred Young or Clever Fox. He was a Navajo Ute nuclear physicist whose work looked at alternative uses for lasers. He also focused on making the connection between traditional Navajo beliefs and modern science. Unfortunately, there isn't much information on Begay's life, so what little we have are from several online sources.
So with that, it's time to get started. Fred Begay was born in 1932 on the Ute Mountain Indian Reservation in Colorado. His parents, who were Navajo and Ute healers and spiritual leaders, taught him traditional Navajo ceremonies. Quote, "It turns out many of the prayers and songs have built in lots of science," says Begay. "I was immersed in all that knowledge before I even got to the first grade," end quote. At age 10, Begay was sent away from home to a government-run vocational school, where his teachers decided to train him in farming. Begay and his family didn't have any choice in what he studied, he said. Quote, "Our parents didn't speak English, so they couldn't say, I want him to take physics," end quote. This is often a problem for people of indigenous nations or non-English speakers because they're limited by the language barrier, so they don't get a voice or they don't get an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, if they speak some English, a lot of times it just makes them seem untrustworthy or not qualified to mm-hmm. have a voice because they don't speak English all the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it was extremely hard for Fred's family, particularly.
Yeah.
School officials discouraged students from practicing the Navajo language and culture, forcing them to speak English and attend a Christian church, which is also something that was popular back then.
Yeah.
Quote, "The first day at the federal government Indian school," Begay remembers, "they told us that the Navajo language was inferior, that our religion was inferior, that our culture was inferior, and that we should not participate in it anymore from that day on, that we would be punished if we were caught praying in the Navajo language," end quote. It was in 1951, after 8 years of learning to be a farmer, Begay joined the U.S. Air Force and fought in the Korean War. In 1952, he married Helen Smith from Shiprock. When he came home in 1955, he returned to his mother's 30-acre farm with the intention of growing corn and raising children. Helen and Fred Begay had 7 children: Fred Jr., Joyce, William, Janet, Terry, Christina, and Carolyn.
Wow.
That's a lot of children.
Yeah.
When he returned from the Korean War with funding from the Department of Veterans Affairs, Begay enrolled at the University of New Mexico in 1955. To make up for his lack of standard pre-college education, Begay had to take high school classes in the evenings while attending college courses during the day. I feel like that would be really confusing because, like, you're learning something at a college course and then you take the high
right.
school class in the evening, so,
right.
like, everything's backwards.
Well, and you wonder, was it building on itself? Like,
Right.
How
maybe
was
it was better.
How was it staged?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that was challenging for him.
But I'm curious how he got into the
college.
Yes.
I'm going to guess that he like promised them that he would take these high school classes in order to get in. I don't think, obviously we don't know, but like.
Did they not have prerequisites back then, right?
Right.
Or testing to test his knowledge?
Yeah. I'm not sure. Not having attended high school, Begay was unfamiliar with academic subjects. Quote, I had no knowledge of physics or math or English or any of that. So his decision to study physics was just an accident, he says, end quote. Though he didn't receive a standard high school education, Begay believes that in some ways the Navajo culture helped him prepare to study science. Quote, I think the key point is that I learned to think abstractly and develop reasoning skills when I was growing up. Learning about lasers and radiation in the Navajo language, he said. That's all embedded in our religion, end quote. The Navajo do not have separate words to refer to religion and science. Instead, they have a single concept, which they call the sacred depths of nature, which encompasses their belief about the natural world. Quote, we strongly rely on natural phenomena. We believe we're children of nature, Begay said. Clearly, his upbringing taught him to look more holistically at nature and to be curious about how the world works, which would serve him later in his career.
Begay continued to pursue a career in physics, and after receiving a PhD in nuclear physics from the University of New Mexico in 1972, he joined the research staff of Los Alamos National Laboratory. Much of Begay's research has focused on controlled thermonuclear fusion. Fusion in plasma, hot ionized gases, could potentially provide a clean, practically unlimited energy source as an alternative to fossil fuels. But plasma physicists have been trying unsuccessfully for decades to build a reactor that puts more energy out than it takes in. Begay has recently been investigating a phenomenon called soliton turbulence that he believes might cause instabilities in the plasma, making them useless for fusion. Soliton turbulence, for those of us who are not experts, is a type of wave motion in which energy can be viewed as a type of gas. He hopes his research will help point to ways to avoid these problems. Begay was also part of a NASA-funded space physics research team at University of New Mexico to conduct fundamental studies on the origin of high-energy gamma rays and solar neutrons from 1960 to 1963, and again from 1965 to 1972. He also held research and teaching fellowships at Stanford University and University of Maryland. Begay also began working with the Navajo Nation during his time as a scientist. Over the course of 10 years, from 1972 to 1982, Begay spent hundreds of hours investigating the relationship between traditional Navajo thought and modern science. For instance, in addition to Navajo concepts corresponding to the modern ideas of radiation and lasers, he has found parallels with relativity, space-time physics, and quantum mechanics. Quote, but these ideas are buried in our own abstract language, end quote, Begay says, and it is not easily to translate them into English. Quote, it takes decades for me to make a correlation, end quote, Begay stated. In some cases, however, no clear parallel exists, he says. Quote, the Navajo have mysterious ideas about science which cannot be interpreted into English, end quote. Begay has volunteered his time to advise Navajo Nation on science and technology matters. He also takes time to mentor middle school Navajo children. He received the American Indian Science and Engineering Society's L.A. Parker Award in 1992, the National Science Foundation's Lifetime Achievement Award in 1994, and the Distinguished Scientist Award from the Society for the Advancement of Chicanos and Native Americans in Science in 1999. Begay also heads the Seaborg Hall of Science, an organization that provides science and technology-related services to the Navajo community. Begay was profiled in the 1979 NOVA documentary, The Long Walk of Fred Young. He unfortunately passed away on April 30th, 2013, at the age of 81 years old.
I mean, clearly, what a life.
Yeah.
Like, to start by being taken away from your family and going to a school to farm and not know the language.
Right, having to learn a new language.
Right.
Having to learn a new family because he was taken from his family.
And then to become a physicist and to, you know, study lasers. It's just, it's incredible.
Yeah. And, you know, interesting, as you think about his upbringing, right, on the Navajo Nation, him talking about that being incorporated into his faith, mm-hmm. and then looking at his life of a farmer, right? It's a practical vocation of farming to being a physicist and how encompassing that is. He really lived out his faith, if you think about it, because that's what they did. Everything was incorporate, everything Mother Earth, right?
Yeah.
And it's the circle of life. I just think what he lived out his faith in his vocation.
Well, I think the other thing too that he talks about is, you know, there's this idea that the Navajo have of, you know, having words for radiation or lasers. And I think that physicists as well, like, it's not a religion, but you have to have some faith that the physics will work. Like, you can't see atoms. You know what I mean? Like, you can't see waves. Mm-hmm. You can't see, you know, these energies, but you know that they're there. And you have to have some faith to know that they're there and that they're working, mm-hmm. or else the science just doesn't work. So I would suspect that in that way as well, as a physicist, he's also taking up his faith.
And trying probably to prove that.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
To prove that it exists.
Yeah, absolutely.
With measurement and observation. And how did learning about farming for 8 years? Like, I'm really curious about that program.
I also want to know, like, how he got into physics on accident. Like, obviously he didn't know the language, and like when he went back to college, mm-hmm. you know, he's studying physics, but like, how do you go into that on accident? You're like, I'm just gonna take this class.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if he knew a little bit about what the class was going to teach, and he said, you know, that's like your grandfather.
Yeah.
So, right, he was good with math, and his parents just said, well, how about you go into physics? And
it makes sense.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was one of his friends. They were like, hey, you should take physics. Physics mm-hmm. is interesting. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But yeah, it's just his whole life seems so random, but also
not.
But also purposeful at the same time. It's so paradoxical. So I also just have to applaud him for working with the Navajo Nation and trying to not push science, but trying to bring science to Indigenous communities, because mm-hmm. that's to help educate. Right, because that's mm-hmm. one of the areas I think that we could improve on as scientists, is working with Indigenous communities. They've always been seen as at war with each other, because, you know, scientists think, oh, Indigenous knowledge isn't real knowledge, blah, blah, blah. But here's a man who says, no, they easily work together. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but I want to bring the science to these communities so that we can educate our young people, get them to be scientists of the future. And I think it's a really nice and clear goal that he has. And I have to applaud him for that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you think about how we're shifting now more towards we're observing and watching nature. And
right.
Oh my goodness, there's so much in nature we can learn to now adapt our science back to. What is the earth showing us?
Yeah.
You know, and I think of that movie, The Biggest Little Farm, right? Mm-hmm. And the dirt. And
yeah.
What can we do holistically? And I think there's, you know, you're taking the science, but now you're looking at nature and saying, okay, how can we marry these two for the best of both worlds?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for listening to this episode featuring the life and work of scientist Fred Begay. Stay tuned for our next episode on Edgar Allan Poe, writer, poet, and cosmologist?
Stay tuned.
Have to learn more.